Welcome back to another episode of the Starving Artist Podcast, your one-stop shop for all things competitive in the world of Warhammer 40,000. I'm your host, Eric, with me is my co-host, Ray.
Hello.
And if you're listening to this, chances are, if you haven't turned in your list for LVO, you have already received a yellow card. That's right. List submissions were due this evening. Technically, as we're recording this, you've got 90 minutes, but by the time we get this edited out to you, it'll be well past the bedtime. Yeah, past my bedtime, past the deadline at this point. So lists will be due, and then in the next future episodes, we'll go over the lists as they're submitted. Yes, it's going to be a daunting task. Well over 1,000 players are scheduled to converge on Las Vegas for the largest single Warhammer event in history. I know we say that every year about LVO, but they keep making it bigger and bigger.
Yeah, it seems like every time we hear about it, it's getting better and bigger.
So, curious to see how it comes around this year. Of course, I will be there, and as typical, poor Ray has to endure this every time there's a tournament coming up. Usually about 72 hours before the tournament, I go into complete panic mode, and this is no exception. So this year it went from everything to, I think I'm pretty happy with my list, to, is it too late to change my ticket to Kill Team? Because then I'll have less to paint. But nonetheless, it was insane. That's just kind of riding the roller coaster. And usually it's like, okay, I can make this change. Do I make that change to my list? Do I have time to buy these models? Maybe if I switch factions. I'm like, really? We're right at the deadline and I'm still thinking maybe I could switch back to another faction. I was like, oh, it was a mess. So the list is submitted. I'm actually pretty happy with the list. And so I just now get some practice in the next couple weeks. Spent some time over the weekend getting some paint on some well overdue models and go forward from there. Looking pretty excited about this. Making sure I got some distinct squad markings as well as the distinct detachment colors on the bases to tell everybody apart. So it should be in pretty good shape.
Sounds like you might be set. At least for the most part.
I got a little bit more to do. The biggest thing is, I'm about 70% painted at this point. So that's where I'm like, okay, if I can get some of the other stuff done, I'll be in pretty good shape. I think one more weekend, I think I'll be pretty good. The bases are the other thing. Are pretty sad shape. And I remember looking at pictures from last year. I couldn't figure out what was wrong with the army. It just didn't really pop. And I realized, oh, yeah, the bases look like crap. So, you know, they don't really... There's kind of these dull gray blobs on them. So I figured out a way to give them a little more excitement. But interesting enough, so I don't know, Ray, there was some news that came out of Las Vegas, or actually from Frontline Gaming, which technically is right outside Las Vegas. They have just recently relocated and from San Diego to right outside Vegas. And, well, I just don't know how to feel about this because it's something I've been asking for. Like since the ITC has started, so I should be happy about this, but we didn't need this change 48 hours before lists were due for LVO.
Well, guess what? It happened.
If you hadn't seen it or were, it happened. Exactly. It happened and you're going to have to deal with it. And I'm like, okay. And so those of you who are unaware of the change, and I know we use a breaking news all the time on this podcast, but it literally broke like late Friday, early Saturday. Games Workshop. Games Workshop had nothing to do with this. Frontline Gaming has heard your requests and decided at the last second that if you're on the top 100 tables, they will have a set terrain that you can plan on for each table. And what I thought was unique and really groundbreaking is usually when people say they have set terrain, they try and sit there for hours upon days upon weeks to mix and match and find the exact placement of the terrain so it mix and matches and perfectly suited for every mission and every deployment type. And invariably, you come up short somewhere. Matter of fact, the guys who ran the Atlanta Open there in Pro Tabletop, they actually excluded one of the deployment zones because it just didn't work for the terrain. So what Frontline did was very different. It says, we have set terrain based on each deployment map. So if you're playing this deployment, this is how the terrain will be set up. If you're playing this deployment, different setup. It's like, that was brilliant. So we finally have an idea of what is an official ITC terrain setup and it's actually pretty cool. It's a little light on terrain, but at least we can figure that out. And I'm super excited until you realize, wait, what? I'm still making my list. Do I make changes now? Do I swing it? So, well, let's take a look at it. So I'm going to try and describe this over the, you know, over the radio here. Just kind of like Little Orphan Annie in the old days here. Radio dramas. You have two L-shaped ruins, which are very similar to what you saw in Nova. And they look like they're actually, the ones in the picture here look actually more like Games Workshop ruins as opposed to FLG's own products. You also have not one, not two, but four hills. And these are the narrow ones. You can't actually go on top of them. They're the, I think they're 4 inches tall and 10 inches. Yes, 4 inches tall, 10 inches long. So these long, skinny things. Two-fourths and two area terrain, which all counts the same, which I thought was interesting. And then the last two things is you have two of their cargo containers, which actually they've rearranged to be count as hills. So you don't have as much height. You only have the one ruins. And then the area terrain is interesting. I'm trying to read the rules because like we don't have area terrain in 40K anymore. Cargo containers are treated as hills. I just said that. And area terrain trees is treated as providing cover to units normally, but have no other rules. So part of it says, okay, two of the area terrain things that you have there are forests. Forests normally are minus two to charge distance. Does that mean these forests do not have minus two? I kind of need to clarify that. So I'm not exactly sure. It's kind of a little vague there. So I get it. Top 100 table is probably blowing this out of proportion. As we mentioned, there's going to be over 1,000 people. That beats 500 tables. That means there's only a 1 in 5 chance that you'll actually start on one of those tables, and then you have to keep winning to stay on one of these tables. So if you're one of the top players, you're probably going to be like, really want to take a look at this. A schlub like me, who's well unprepared for this, probably going to be the same old FLG terrain. So I'm not going to be that worried about it. But there we go. So that's my rant for the day. But so now I got to go. Here's the conspiracy theory that's been floated by me by a couple of our listeners. Ready for this, right? So some people think the reason why they made this change at the last second is that because Games Workshop does attend these larger events like Adepticon, like Nova. So they think that they are actually playtesting some new terrain rules for further updates. And the biggest thing they see is perhaps down the road, infantry will no longer have the ability to pass through walls.
Okay.
Yeah. And I kind of went, all right. I can't say that's not the case. It's kind of the fun of conspiracy theories. It's really hard to disprove them. Therefore, they live forever. But I also kind of like, they don't really playtest new rules at these tournaments. They go to the tournaments and go, oh, God, what have we done? That's not what we meant. And then an FAQ comes out. So
yeah,
I'm not feeling it. I think this is what I call a racism. And you know, I've been kind of a proponent of this. I think people, like, you know, people get all upset about the magic boxes, which like, well, they made these terrain pieces and they had to figure out how to make them usable on the table, so otherwise they don't sell. So here you go. That's hence the magic box. And for those who are unfamiliar with that, that's a four-walled ruin. So it counts as ruins, but the worst part is like an infantry unit does not need line of sight, such as like a hive guard. Can step inside and open fire at anything without being touched. Awesome. So yeah, the lack of magic boxes does makes it a little bit interesting. I definitely could see flyers being very powerful on these lists, which I'm kind of these tables, which I'm kind of glad I put two flyers into my list at the last second. So I don't know. I've got 2 weeks to get some practice games on these tables and find out and go from there. So that was quite the uproar over the weekend. I hope
that by that time you've got it figured out. You're not trying to change it last minute.
Well, at this point, if you have, like I said, any changes or any you know, alterations to your list at this point would result in a yellow card. And I'm just like, it's enough of a deterrent for me not to make any changes. Plus, I got to get all this stuff painted. So so anyway, that was the big news. But an additional big news, Games Workshop has started to peel back the curtain a little bit of what's going to be inside the next Psychic Awakenings book, and that'd be Ritual of the Damned, which was fittingly, with a name like that, previewed on Christmas Day. So we'll take a quick break, and Ray and I will break down the news of the Darlings of 5th Edition, Grey Knights, maybe finally being brought back from the dead, back right after this.
Are you a gamer that has more bare plastic than you have time to paint? Do paintbrushes spontaneously combust when you hold them? If either of these is true, contact White Crow Studios and get your models painted by a college-trained professional painter. You can contact Bo at whitecrow.commissions@gmail.com and view his previously painted models at White Crow Studios on Facebook.
All right, welcome back after the break. As we mentioned, Grey Knights are featured in this week's update, part of the new Psychic Awakenings book, Ritual of the Damned. So we've already had a lot of fiction regarding Thousand Sons, but now we actually have some tangible rules for the Grey Knights. So, Ray, you used to be a Grey Knight player back in the day. What's new and exciting in the world of Grey Knights?
All right, so Grey Knights are getting something that is not doctrines, although somewhat similar. They have what they are calling tides. You know, there are four different tides, and you know, you've got you can choose one to be active during the turn. So we've got Tide of Fury, which says while this tide is dominant, when resolving an attack made with a nemesis weapon by an infantry model with this ability, you can reroll a wound roll of one. You've got Tide of Convergence, which when it's dominant, you add one to the strength and damage characteristic of psi weapon that infantry models with this ability are equipped with. You've got Tide of Shadows, which is while it's dominant, a unit with this ability receives the benefit of cover to its saving throw, even while it's not entirely on or within a terrain feature. And when resolving an attack made with a ranged weapon against a unit with this ability, while it is entirely on or within a terrain feature, you subtract one from the hit roll. And then the fourth one is Tide of Escalation. And while it's dominant, when a unit with this ability and the Rites of Banishment ability manifests the Smite psychic power, and it is not resisted, that power inflicts one additional mortal wound on the target. So that's actually pretty useful there. They bring up one of their psychic abilities.
So anytime you can mention to change something per game, it's always powerful. So a new psychic power, what do they got?
Empyrean Domination. It has a warp charge value of 7. And if manifested, you gain a command point. Ah. Yeah, it's kind of a first.
So theoretically, in the psychic phase, so there's 6 phases, you can pick up to 6 additional command points. That's kind of rude.
Yeah. They released 2 different stratagems, one here and then another one was on the face. So here we've got the Empiric Surge, which is 1 CP. Use a stratagem in your psychic phase after a Grey Knight Psyker unit from your army has manifested a psychic power. Until the end of that phase, when a psychic test is taken for a friendly Grey Knight Psyker unit within 6 inches of that unit, add 1 to its total.
So nasty. Seen this already in Thousand Sons. So nasty.
Well, the other one is even more fun, which is Dynamic Insertion, 1 CP. Use this stratagem when a Grey Knight's unit from your army is set up on the battlefield using the Teleport Strike ability. You can set up that unit anywhere on the battlefield that is more than 3 inches away from any enemy models instead of 9 inches. If you do, you cannot charge with that unit in this turn. Yeah, that one's crazy.
Holy crud. No, I didn't see that one at all. 3 inches shooting. I mean, granted, you can't charge, but I mean, they got enough shooting, and I think they still have the it's the elite choice that had the big flamers and all that. It's not good. That could be, and even just football blocking
purifiers.
It's the ones. Oh, that's brutal. All right,
yeah, and bear in mind they have storm bolters, which I think too, right? Aren't they rapid fire too?
Yeah, and I think they still have a stratagem lying around to make them strength 5, right?
I think so. But the relic is the Staff of Supremacy. This is for models with the Nemesis Warding Staff only. When a psychic test is taken for an enemy model within 18 inches of a model with this relic, that enemy model suffers perils on any roll of a double.
So, revenge, because demons had this ability for a long time as a stratagem. So, look out. Fair play is turned on the demons and given back to the Grey Knights.
Yeah. Although we don't really know what's in store exactly for the Thousand Suns players.
So true. So true. All right. And of course, it wouldn't be a Space Marine faction or cohort or whatever you want to call it if they didn't get some crazy upgrade for their chaplain.
Yeah. Of course, they're going to get litanies, although we haven't seen any examples. We just know apparently they're going to be called Litanies of Purity.
Actually, there's one that they showed off on the community page.
Oh, yeah. I completely missed that one. Hold on. Yeah. Okay. The Recitation of Projection. If this litany is inspiring, select one friendly Grey Knights unit within 6 inches of this model. Add 6 inches to the range characteristic of bolt weapons and psi weapons models in that unit are equipped with. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Extra 6 inches there, right? So heavy bolters. I'm trying to remember the psi Gatling gun. Is that the thing? And then the psi cannons and all that stuff. Like, oh, all the heavy duty stuff.
The Gatling silencer. I don't know. I don't know what all is included in a psi weapon. I have not even seen. I've never even looked at the 8th edition Grey Knights book, but I think I might have to now just to take a look at things.
Yeah, I've seen it like in smaller packages usually as like a add-on detachment or something like that. It's just like, what the whole? But yeah, this is pretty crazy. So, and then they also have some crazy ability, supposedly, that all their smites are +1 mortal wound and casting on a 3+, which I was like, what? So,
I didn't see anything about that.
Yeah, I'm trying to wonder if that's including various buffs that we didn't know about. So, that's what I'm trying to figure all that out. So, think about it. Every unit on the table then would be on a 3+ on 2 dice, inflicting 2 mortal wounds in the psychic phase without any of the. So, that's just kind of crazy because you can just pour in tons of firepower through that psychic phase. So Grey Knights might be back on the menu. Be eagerly to see how this all comes together. And like you said, a Thousand Suns are going to be in that book as well. So curious to see how they are countered by a Thousand Suns. All these crazy cultists with poking out their right eye of fiction. But so all week long, we'll have additional updates. We'll be sure to bring those to you. Add a couple more onto our Facebook page. Matter of fact, I even posted something on Facebook tonight. Take a look at one of our sponsors, which we hear about in the break all the time. Let's put it this way. At least one model in my army will look nice. So I'm very excited about that. So, all right. We will take a break right after this. And after the break, we'll get into the tournaments from last weekend. Talk to you right after this. Does your game day fare leave your fingers orange or your game table pizza stained? There is a better option. You need the Necronom Nom Nom. Yes, that's right. The cosmic horror and great cuisine become allies of convenience with this darkly humorous, gorgeously illustrated, and simple-to-use guide to insanely good food. 50 recipes arm you with breakfast, lunch, and dinner from drinks to dessert and this unique grimoire of forbidden recipes. Don't tell the Inquisition, but you can tell your friends to find it on Amazon or wherever books are sold. Brought to you by the madmen of Red Duke Games, take the pizza shop off speed dial and treat your players to something new and delicious from the Necronom Nom Nom.
Some of the players in Hong Kong have set up an augmented reality app to use with the 40K. It's called the Rightful Ruler, made by the Minotaur Gaming HK Limited group. And what it is you use this app, and what it'll do is it'll basically create it's on augmented reality. So looking at you could look at your table through the phone, and it could show you like your deployment zone without having to put down a ton of dice. It can show you like aura bubbles. It even looked like they were working on something so you could like measure out distances with this. I haven't had a chance to really play with it. There's the stuff that you can get for free, and then there's the stuff that you can get with you're basically backing them on Patreon.
I didn't realize they had free stuff. I only saw the Patreon stuff. Cool. I gotta try this.
Yeah.
And basically, if you're a sports fan, like an American football fan, you know, they have like the first down marker, you know, that little yellow line that you see on TV that we know it's not really there. Imagine that you look through your phone and you look at your game table and you can see the deployment zones. It's insane. I was like, wow.
Small confession. It took me years to realize that yellow line was not actually.
Funny thing about that story is it was developed in Europe. And it was a way to do advertising on the field. And then you could put the way the old school was, some clown had to go out there and paint it. And this way, like if you say you're advertising for the entire game. So this was a way to digitally put advertising on the field and you could switch it up. I only paid for 10 minutes of time or 30 minutes of game time. But the ruling body of FIFA there, of soccer, said, we have a strict rule, digital or otherwise, no advertisements on the playing field. So these guys are like, crap, we spent all this money developing this software. What are we going to do with it? Give it to the Americans. The Americans are like, first down marker, cool. And actually, they're expanding it. They now show stuff like where they need to be in field goal range. Makes the game a lot more easier to watch. So yeah, you mentioned the deployment zones. They had this like ring thing. They're using it to see who's the closest model. So they centered it on one model and they're like these outgoing rings. So you can see the distances, like clearly see like, okay, here's the smite range. Or it was really cool. So I hope it works as well as it shows in the video.
Yeah. If any of our listeners happen to be part of that group and want to come on and talk about it, I'm going to leave the door open for them.
Absolutely. So take a look at that and for your next competitive table. Welcome back after the break. It's time to get into the tournament coverage of the weekend. And there were some pretty big ones with some key players. And interesting enough, the three we're going to talk about today do not have the words LVO or prep in the title, but there are quite a few of those tournaments held throughout the weekend. Instead, we're going to the New Year's Knockout GT. And where were they located? They were in lovely Shawnee, Kansas. Right, what does our top five look like?
All right, in fifth place was Michael DeLang playing Jukari. Fourth was Nathan Martin playing Iron Hands. Third, Tim Royers playing Imperial Fists. Second, Scott Thompson playing Iron Hands. And in first, Dan Sammons playing Adeptus Astartes.
So interesting, I heard a lot about this already. You've got one Xenos player and then the rest all being Space Marines in the top five. Your number one being Dan Sammons. Take a look at his list real quick. It starts with an Iron Hand Successor chapter featuring Master Artisans and Stealthy. He's got a Captain with Storm Shield and Thunderhammer. He's got two Venerable Dreadnoughts, all with twin Las Cannons. In the troop slots, he's got 4 Intercessor squads, all with Stalker Bolt rifles. And then he's got also an additional 2 Scouts, 5-man Scout squads. In the elite section, he's got 2 Invictor Tactical Warsuits and a Venerable Dreadnought with Missile Launcher and Twin Las Cannon. And then on the fast attack side, he's got Attack Bike Squad. I've not seen that in quite some time. And 2 Suppressor squads. Curious where he got the models from. And then in the heavy support slot, he's got the ever-popular Thunderfire Cannon, 2 Whirlwinds, and then added in an Impulsor, as well as a dedicated troop transport. So I would definitely say it's not your typical army list, but it is coming with a brigade. And so we're rocking close to 15 command points. But kind of neat. Has a lot of the hallmarks we've been looking for. I'm just trying to figure out the attack bike thing. I think that's just to fill out the slot, but I still think it's an interesting choice. So congratulations to Dan Sammons. So where do we go to next?
All right. Next up is the Golden Sprue Cup GT.
Rensselaer, New York, home of RPI and a crap ton of snow this time of year. Ray, what's their top five look like this there?
All right. In fifth place, Chad Layton playing Necrons. Fourth, Patrick McEnany playing Adeptus Astartes. Third, Tony Phelps playing Adeptus Astartes. Second, Jared Friedman playing Adeptus Astartes. And first, Alexander Fennell playing Raptors.
Yep, Mr. Sportsmanship himself. He's back, making a big strong run here right before LVO. His list looks something like this. He is also playing, not only is he playing Space Marines, but he's actually taking a Raven Guard successor chapter. And starting off with his first battalion, he's got a typical captain with Stonepack, Storm Shield, and Thunderhammer. And then he took Lys Aes Sedain. Two incursor squads, five. And then one infiltrator squad of five. And then he took not one, but two Salt Centurion blobs. The first one is four of them with Hurricane Bolters and Flamers. The other one is the full six with Hurricane Bolters and Flamers. I had the joy of playing against a list that had three of these units in them. That was a pain in the neck. Anyway, second battalion, he's rocking. Looks like they are another Raven Guard successor with long-range marksmen and master artisans. Comes in with a chaplain and a Primaris lieutenant. Three scout squads, and then a heavy train devastator squad. These are with five of them with grav cannons and grav amps and hurricane bolters as well. And then also taking a thunderfire cannon to round out the heavy support slot. So a different take on a very common list. We've been hearing a lot about the centurion assault squads. So taking two of them, it's that whole redundancy. Most armies have enough to deal with one. Most will not have to deal with two. And then you take on the grav gun devastator guys. Interesting, he doesn't have the typical deposit or ways to get them upfield, but he may be doing that with the stratagem. But very interesting list, very different from what we've seen from Alexander Fett on the bat in the past. So, Alex, good, look forward to seeing you at LVL, and curious to see this list in action. I have to double-check the rules for Isidon. I could have swore he has got some crazy redeployment shenanigans. I have to look that up again. All right, Ray, where are we going to next?
All right, last up is the Critical Hit Gaming Lounge LVO Prep.
Back up in Canada, some of favorites, friends of the show were in this particular list. Ray, who's our top five?
All right, fifth place, Tori Pete playing Drukhari. Fourth place, Val Heffelfinger playing Adeptus Astartes. Third, Derek Duresh playing Adeptus Astartes. Second is Skari playing Drukhari. And first is Devin Swan playing Imperium.
So first of all, it was interesting that we finished, none of the top players actually finished undefeated. Both Skari and Devin Swan were four wins and a tie. And Skari ended up losing this by 1 point to Devin Swan. Not that Devin Swan is any slouch. He's been a long time contributor to the Ganhammer team. But it feel bad for Skari because in order to get that second place win, you had to beat somebody. We've mentioned him once or twice on the show. He's been a guest. Yeah, Jim Vessel beat him in the final round, 34-24. And Jim ended up coming in sixth because of that. So very interesting matchup. I'm hoping it's like was streamed and maybe on YouTube somewhere. I would love to watch that game. But anyway, enough do. I was talking about Devin Swan's list. Devin is playing Blood Angels. I had the pleasure of playing Blood Angels last Friday in a practice game, and his list looks nothing like the thing I played on Friday. Okay, he starts off with a battalion featuring two captains with Jump Pack, Storm Shield, Thunderhammer. So basically, let's review three events. All three armies had one of these. They do all have a Smash Captain. In the troop slots, he's got three units of five scouts. And then he starts his second battalion, featuring Astrograph, a captain, another Smash captain, and Chief Librarian Mephiston. Yeah, he's annoying as heck. And two units of scouts and a tactical squad. And then the elite section, he's got, 14 death companies with bolters, chain swords, and jump packs. And then he rounds out with a third detachment, which is the Spearhead Imperial Fists, just for a little bit of variety. Featuring a Librarian, a Primaris Captain, not the smashy type, but with a Mastercrafted Stalker Bolt Rifle. And then a heavy support slot, not one, not two, but three Thunderfire Cannons and three Whirlwind with Whirlwinds in this list. That's a lot of firepower being stuck into a 2,000 points. That's pretty impressive. I may want to redo my list now. See, this is why we should not do this. Yeah, two Smash Captains, three Smash Captains, and five Scout Squads, and then three Thunderfire Cannons and three Whirlwinds for indirect fire. Yeah, that's kind of brutal. So that's what Devin's Army is going to be looking at for that particular event. I thought it was interesting also with this, we talked so much about the dominance of Space Marines. Two Chakari players finished in the top five in this particular event. The other three are all Imperium players, all Space Marine players. But, you know, there was a brief sighting. There's some brief hope. All right. That was our last event for the evening. So we'll take a quick break. And after that, we'll go over the IDC top 10. And any other last-minute events. We are like the one weekend away from Las Vegas and the end of the season. We'll be back right after this. All right. Welcome back after the break, and we have the IC top 10. And not to be a spoiler alert, you want to wait to the end of this. There's a major shakeup in the IHCC top 10 right before, less than like 2 weeks before LVO and the end of the season. Sure. So in 10th place, Stephen Pamprin rounds it out at 1,083 points. 9th place, Brian Poulin. 8th place, Chris Blackham. 7th place, TJ Lanigan, who actually was on a recent episode of Art of War, was explaining his list. It was very interesting. Ray, you might actually be interested in it because it uses Magnus as well as a mix of Nurgle units as well, and it's like taking your list and Don's old Plague Burst crawler list and combining the two together. It was kind of clever. Sixth place, Manny Chima with 1,117 points. Fifth place, John Lennon. Fourth place, Nick Nadavati. Third place, Nick Rose. Second place, I have not said this person's name outside of first place for, seems like, since April. Jim Vessel drops to second place with a 1,193 points. Richard Siegler is now your leader for the season with 1,208 points with 2 weeks to go. So pretty much 1 week into practice and the LVO riding on who's going to win the championship.
Yep, yep, finally. Well, they knew it was. Well, we knew it was going to happen. It's just whatever reason the tournament Richard Siegler was at. It's like they never updated the points. So one of the last tournaments Richard Siegler went to, he was supposed to surpass Jim Vessel. Yeah, Richard went to an event. I think it was back in early December, and for whatever reason, his points just never got updated. Never got updated. Never got updated. Jim Vessel even sent him a message just congratulating him for making first place, and yet it didn't show up for the longest time.
So finally taken care of, so there it is. That is your ITC top 10 leading into that. A quick look at your top five of your top teams. Team Battle Brothers is in fifth place. Number four, Glass Hammer. Three, Beast Coast. Number two, Gentleman Gaming. And the guys from Florida have moved into first place. Brohammer. Is now your top team. So interesting to see that. But it looks like, no, that's just my screen doing wonky things. And our team, Spike Club, residing comfortably in 20th place. So we'll see if we can break into the top 10 with a strong performance at LVO. Ray, what events we got next week?
We've got the Polar Vortex 4, Sheraton Lyle. In Lyle, Illinois.
Apparently everybody has to play either Space Wolves or be weather people.
There's the Scarab 40K event 2020 at the Medallion Conference Center in Columbia, South Carolina.
Oh, they used to be in Atlanta. That's awesome. That's one of like the biggest events in the South. That'd be really cool. Okay.
There's a second event that looks to be at the same place. It says it's the ITC 40K GT, so I don't know what the difference is between those, if one's not actually ITC or what. They're both showing up. Same place.
Make sure you don't walk into the wrong one if you're hoping for ITC points.
Yeah. There's the Siege of Augusta 40K tournament at the Savannah River Brewing Company in Augusta, Georgia.
That sounds like fun. Spend the weekend in Savannah, Georgia in a brewery playing 40K. That'd be awesome. All right.
And then there's the JMG Graintown Winter War. It's at the Matarankatu 4. And there are only two vowels in the entire name of the place where it's at. Looks like Javascula. I'm thinking it's Poland or maybe even Russia. Huh. Let's find out.
Geography lessons only here on the Exterminatus podcast.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's Finland. There you go.
Wow, that's pretty cool. So, you know, it kind of says a lot, huh? Because, I mean, ITC was, for the longest time, wasn't even penetrating all of the United States. And now you're getting events in Finland. That is really cool. We had an event in Hong Kong a couple weeks ago amid all the protesting. I don't think the two are related, but anyway. It's pretty cool. It's really finally becoming that worldwide scoring system. So that's pretty exciting stuff. All right. So as we mentioned, lots of breaking news. There's still, you know, as later in the week, we expect all the list submissions to become public at this point. Right now, they are still blocked from view. So we'll be going over the lists that are some of the top players will be bringing. Of course, we have Ritual of the Damned. We have additional updates expected throughout the week. Always check that out on our Facebook page. In the meantime, thank you for listening to the Exterminatus podcast. My name's Eric.
I'm Raymond.
And keep checking our Facebook page for more updates. See you next week.